The Radio Today program with Broadcast Bionics. Innovative solutions for creative radio people.
This is the weekly podcast from Radio Today. Hello, I'm Stuart Clarkson, and FM coverage for community radio is about to get better, and stations can apply as well to extend the area they serve. This is all thanks to an announcement from Ofcom this week. The regulators put out some guidelines. Stations have got until the end of July or the middle of September to get applications in for changes, depending on exactly what they want to do. We can find out more about this from Dom Chambers, who's a director of the Community Media Association, also runs Summer Valley FM in Somerset, and hosts our sister podcast In Radio, which focuses on the community radio sector and getting into radio. Welcome to the Radio Today programme, Dom. So big news this. What's been the reaction from people running community radio stations that you've been talking to?
It's totally welcomed by community radio. The Community Media Association, which is the national representative body for community radio in the UK, has been lobbying for this to happen because our members have been coming to us and asking what the possibilities are for extending existing coverage. And there are many reasons why people might want to have their existing coverage extended. And that could be because of new populations. New building projects do affect the fabric of community life. And obviously community broadcasters want to be inclusive to incoming and new populations as well. There may also be examples where an area that you are covering is on an economic decline, but there's another area nearby that is on the up, so you might want to include that. Just a couple of examples there as to why people might want to have their existing areas extended.
And how do you think the take-up might be? I mean, we've got, 250 stations on air, community stations at the moment. How many of those do you think might say, yes, I'd like to make my coverage better or bigger?
Well, Ofcom themselves don't have stated that they don't know what the demand is going to be on this. And I think there's going to be a few people out there who have really been waiting for this. And this is going to provide them with a big opportunity. The radio station I run, Summer Valley FM, hasn't seen a very significant changes in populations. All the building developments around here has been kind of filling in within our existing transmission area. So I don't think it'll be of that big interest to us. I can't say for sure what numbers there will be, but I know that this will be really exciting for some stations that have been hanging out for it.
And before commercial radio gets all upset about it straight away, it's got to be an insignificant extension, hasn't it? So where they're expanding the coverage area, they can't add another six towns on and double the size of their area. It's got to be a kind of relatively small part to extend to.
Yeah, and I think that's very much part of what community radio is, though. I mean, you've got to identify the communities that you're serving. And in asking for an extension, you will have to justify that to Ofcom. So this isn't about empire building. This isn't about taking what you're doing, for instance, in one or two towns and then applying that to a wider region. Because as far as I'm concerned, I don't think that is the point of community radio. It is about a locality and empowering people to have a voice and their musical choices within that locality. So I don't think there's much for the commercial radio networks to get excited about here.
And I think Ofcom have said in their documentation they will kind of consider the impact on commercial stations where people are asking to extend in areas already well served by commercial radio.
But they would always take that into consideration.
And it's not just about extending the size, but improving coverage. And certainly that has been a problem in some areas for community radio stations where they've got an FM mast on the top of a building and it's not really covering the area that they're licensed to serve. So that's going to be welcomed as well.
Absolutely. Improving the quality of your transmissions within the area is that there's definitely going to be a demand for that. It's very interesting because setting up a community radio station, you have to do so many things in order to line it all up for that all-important launch date. And sometimes you can make a mistake about the where the transmitter's located. It may be that the preferred areas aren't open to you at that time. So the option to be able to change where your transmitter is, I think, again, is going to be very welcome by one or two people.
And I guess as well, having a bigger area or a better mast is also going to mean better opportunities to bring in more revenue for community stations, which are struggling for money at the moment.
Yes, I think that's definitely going to be the case. Not every community station wants to go for advertising revenue, but that's clearly become a much more significant revenue in the last few years, particularly as grant funding has become a much more problematic landscape. But don't forget also there's other ways community radio stations can sell their services beyond just putting adverts on the air. For instance, they may be able to sell training services and giving people those life skills that come with communications and media skills through community radio. And increasing your coverage could draw more people into that. So the recourse to increase your revenue is quite subtle, as well as the more obvious, yes, we can hopefully build more revenue through advertising.
And at the same time, Ofcom have made this announcement. They've also said this week they're going to invite applications for more areas to have a new community radio licence. That's going to come at the end of this year. The demand is still there, it seems, even though we've got, you know, as I say, 250 stations on air across the country. There's demand still from groups who want to start a new community station.
It must be beyond all recognition for those who remember the Access pilot days in the early part of the last decade, that the demand for this is just increasing the whole time. There's still, I believe, 11 applications waiting to hear from round four, and Ofcom have stated that their priorities will be the small-scale DAB for 2019. But yes, they are talking about a new round for new licences, and the only reason why they're talking about it is because the demand for community broadcasting in the UK has never been more so. It is a fantastic new development for the wonderful radio industry that we all serve.
And for anybody who doesn't listen to your podcast, and obviously we heartily recommend it, what kind of state is the third sector of radio in at the moment?
I thought you were going to say, what kind of state is your podcast in? There's a side of me that feels that community radio is one of the best kept secrets of the UK. And I think we have so much work to do in recognising, getting government and other decision-making circles to recognise the social benefits of what we're achieving. This is what I call media with good stuff, and there's a real appetite for it in what you might describe as a sort of post-Leveson world. And I think the fact that there's more demands for licences, and not that many are going out of business. I think there's been just over 30 community licences handed back to Ofcom since the 2003 legislation that created community radio. So the demand has never been stronger for it here in the UK.
Okay, thanks for coming on, Dom. Really appreciate talking to us. We'll tell you more about his podcast later on in the Radio Today programme. Roy Martin, the founder and editor of Radio Today, is with us. Before we talk to him, I'm just going to pause to tell you about Clean Feed, because that interview with Dom would have sounded a lot better were we hooked up in quality. Have you heard about Clean Feed? Well, whether it's an OB, an interview, or co-hosting from a remote location for your show, Clean Feed has been designed for people in radio and for podcasters, and it's really simple to connect live audio over the web. The quality is really good, and you can even record right within the browser, and that's what we're doing right now. It doesn't cost you anything to get started, and it'll only take you 30 seconds to sign up. Give it a go, and you'll be doing your first live interview or recording within minutes. You can find out more at cleanfeed.net. That's cleanfeed.net.
I do love a live read. You did that beautifully, by the way.
Thank you. More of those, please. Hello, advertisers.
Hi, Stu.
So a big week from Ofcom, as we were hearing from Dom there. Community Radio is going to be welcoming this, as Dom said.
Yeah, big news, as you say, this week. Two things. We've got the extra coverage that radio stations can apply for, or extensions, or better coverage within their current area. And then, of course, new applications being invited for new areas, which is very exciting.
Yeah, and I think we will probably see a lot of take-up. I certainly know four or five people who are running community radio stations, and I know they're very excited about this news already. So watch this space for applications. They're going to be in within 6 weeks, I think, the first ones, and we'll expect some decisions soon after. Also this week, let's talk about Chris Moyles. he likes the geek
again?
Chat. Yeah, why not? I know. On his show on Radio X this week, he told us he turned down a place in the Radio Academy Hall of Fame. He was he was talking about the Radio X list of songs, the like, X list, I think it's called, and how it's just a kind of list on the internet rather than an actual thing, and then went on to say that he was once asked to be in the Radio Hall of Fame and said no. And here's a clip of him from Radio X talking about what he said to Ben Cooper after Ben told him he'd been asked to go in the Radio Hall of Fame.
And I went, nah, do you know, I'm all right. And he goes, really? I said, yeah, okay, yeah, I'm all right. He goes, oh, come on, we'll go. We'll have, you know, it's a dinner and a few drinks. And,
yeah.
And I'm like, I'm not fussed. And it wasn't me being like, you know, Johnny Big Bananas. Mm. But it was like, I said, and then I met a guy and he goes, oh, you turned down the Radio Hall of Fame. That's a big mistake.
Who said that?
I can't name it. Trevor Dam.
Okay.
Right?
Wow.
He's a decent dude. I like Trevor. He's like a cartoon character. And Trevor's worked in radio for years, right? Done loads of stuff. And he goes, eh. I can't do his voice.
Right.
You turned down the Radio Hall of Fame. And I'm like, yeah, well, I didn't turn it down. I just didn't know. And he goes, ah, that's a big mistake. And I went, it's a big mistake. How's it a big mistake? Why am I being inducted? Why do they want to put, well, to celebrate all your achievements? Well, if it's celebrating my achievements, how is it a mistake to turn it down? What are they, the mafia? Well, all of a sudden I go to do the next show and then the microphones aren't working, the jingles have been sabotaged. What is it?
You'll never work in this town again, love.
What's happening? I'm waking up with a cart machine in the bed next to me with the wires pulled out of it.
That impression of Trevor Dan is just, what? What is that? He sounds nothing like it. Maybe after a couple of whiskies, but not normally.
Yes.
Radio content, though.
Yeah, yes. We love it when people on the radio talk about radio things, don't we, as well? Bit mm-hmm. geeky. Talking of stations like Radio X, NME is coming back, or it's back already. It's online only this time, I think. NME 1 and NME 2, but they might be going on DAB. Third time lucky, can it work this time?
Well, they are on DAB. I fell into this trap as well, because I wrote a story back in February when it all came out, and then it just got saved into drafts. And then yesterday they sent a press release saying they have officially launched. What, 4 months after they started? They were on DAB in London, taking over a slot on the Minimux there. But now I think, from my sources, that they're only on in Brighton and Norwich. So if anybody knows exactly where they are and when they are and what on earth they plan to do for this time round, then do get in touch and let us know.
And Sammy Jacobs, the guy who founded XFM, is involved with them helping out again, and he's been involved in the previous incarnations of NME Radio. I mean, it hasn't worked twice before, so I'm not convinced it's going to work this time, especially now the NME doesn't actually have a magazine or a newspaper anymore, does it?
No, and I think they're broadcasting from their old studios, which were in use by Team Rock, and a few years ago in the Bluefin building in London. So good luck to them. I don't know if there's any need for it. There's not much need for many radio stations today, to be honest with you. But good luck to them.
And so says the editor of Radio Today.
Well, there isn't. That's a whole new debate. I mean, there's so many. I mean, if you go to any random town, there's another capital clone or heart clone doing nothing but doing exactly the same thing. So it's those stations that I'm talking about. But good luck to them, and we'll see where we are 12 months from now.
Okay. James Purnell, taken out of context by the Sunday papers. He's actually made his speech now to the EBU, and it turns out he didn't say what everybody thought he was going to say.
Big surprise, yeah. Newspaper journalists get something wrong, which he did spectacularly. So you have to read the full speech, which is now on radiotoday.co.uk, and find out just how wrong he was.
Yeah, and so James Pennella said, I care about audience figures. We want audiences to love programmes. We want to attract audiences. We want more young people. But what he doesn't care about is share. He doesn't care about beating Global or Bauer or Wireless in the radios. And he's saying share is the wrong measure, because if overall the number of people listening to radio is falling, somebody could easily win the share battle, but we all lose the war. And what he's actually saying is everybody wants to work together as a radio industry to challenge the streamers and keep radio as the number one audio choice for radio and podcasts. So he's actually doing more of a rallying call to say he wants to work with regulators and work with commercial stations.
Yeah, and James Pennell isn't exactly talking for the managing editor of BBC Radio Leeds when he says we're not bothered about this, that and the other. The guy sat in his office is very much in competition and fighting for audience day in, day out. So there's two separate things there.
Lots of big winners from the UK at the New York Festivals Radio Awards this week. TBI, Production Company of the Year for the sixth year running. I think it's one of those awards that if you enter, you'd pretty much win something. Is that right?
don't tell TBI that. They seem to do really well every year, and a lot of indies do as well. The big news for me when I'm writing about it is RTE in Ireland. They've won the best broadcaster in the entire universe for the fifth time.
Fantastic.
Which is good for them and all their radio productions that they're doing. So yeah, lots of good winners, and the full stories by the time you listen to this are now on radiotoday.co.uk and radiotoday.ie.
And coming up, we're in the summer breaks from radio events at the moment. We'll be heading for the Arias and the Segway event in Leeds before we know it. I think the Arias are opening for entries soon. No doubt we'll hear about this in the coming weeks on the podcast. But Next Radio is up in September, and they've just announced some of their first speakers this week. David Lloyd is going to be on, telling us how the brain hears and what that means for making great radio or podcasts. Also jumping out from the schedule, Cariad Lloyd, who does Griefcast. She won lots of awards at the British Podcast Award. She's going to be there. And David Spencer from Wireless Group and the University of Westminster talking about what's next for radio news and whether news bulletins should change after being unchanged for the last 50 years. Again, you can see all those speakers who've been announced so far at radiotoday.co.uk.
And other events coming up as well in Ireland, especially, as we just mentioned, RTE. We've got the IMRO All Ireland Radio Awards. The entries close in a few weeks, the 6th of July, and then the event is later on this year, the 5th of October in Kilkenny, Ireland.
Fantastic. Have a good week in radio. Thank you, Roy.
You keep saying in radio to me. It's like something keeps haunting me. It won't go away.
I want my show back.
You have a good week in radio too.
Yeah, thank you. Everybody, have a good week in radio. We've got more fab memories with David Lloyd still to come. Next, some really interesting thoughts from James Cridland on how voice synthesis could be a big part of the future of radio.
Yes, it can.
Your best content, shareable and discoverable on any platform. Oasis from Broadcast Bionics helps you build a closer relationship with your listeners. Welcome to the social studio at bionics.co.uk.
At james.crid.land and in your favourite podcast app, I'm James Cridland, the radio futurologist. This week, the next step for personalised radio.
I'm James Cridland, the radio futurologist. Except, obviously, I'm not.
I am also not James Cridland. This is a bit more obvious.
Yes, well, let me tell you a story about Jamie Dupree. He's a radio reporter with Cox Media Group in the US for WSB. And 2 years ago, he lost his voice. As a story on the BBC will tell you, he's got it back, kind of. A company based in Scotland has sampled his voice from a set of recordings, and he's now back filing full reports for the company with the aid of voice synthesis.
Now, when Dupree types a sentence, he's able to hear his computerized voice say those exact words.
Mainly due to tax refunds being paid out by the IRS so far this fiscal year.
Well, the technology isn't 100% perfect, but it's certainly well on the way. And that's, of course, interesting to radio. Because if consistency is one thing that makes radio work, and most radio programmers agree, then it's an obvious next step to have not just consistent music, but consistent radio presenters. Indeed, the same radio presenters 24 hours a day. There are already radio stations like this. I wrote about the excellent tight-sounding Carolina Classic Hits a while ago, which has the same radio presenter on air 24 hours a day. Station sounds great, with crunch and roll links and an almost relentless up-tempo sound. And Rick Freeman has been on the air every hour of every day since 2012, thanks to a bank of well over 5,000 voice tracks. But recording voice tracks only gets you so far. So what if you could go a little further? If voice tracked weeks in advance, your favourite radio personality can't talk about yesterday's World Cup game, but with this type of technology, he can. Indeed, this could make even famous radio presenters come back from the grave. And in fact, that's already been done too. Bob Monkhouse, a UK comedian, famously did a TV ad for prostate cancer awareness 4 years after he died of the disease.
What killed me kills one man per hour in Britain. That's even more than my wife's cooking.
A number of years ago, I saw a presentation by a German radio company who'd added a personal clock radio alarm to their radio app. You'd wake up in the morning to hear the breakfast radio presenter say, "Good morning, James." Clever, but it turns out that you only need record 100 first names to cover the vast majority of your audience. But with voice synthesis, personalised radio could be something else.
Now, here's a great new song from Taylor Swift. And James, you've got 10 minutes before you need to leave for work, so crank this song up while you get ready.
Or,
should be a warm day today, but perhaps some rain this afternoon. In your task list, it says you need to visit the dry cleaner, so maybe you want to do that this morning.
The opportunities are endless. And as for the television, well, the technology to produce fake videos is already out there and getting much more realistic. You can get my weekly newsletter at james.crid.land and daily podcast news at podnews.net. And until next time, keep listening. Now on the Radio Today podcast is the very human David Lloyd.
Radio Moments. Radio Moments.
BBC Radio Northampton was famously the first station to have the all-digital virtual studio Vylor. But it wasn't one of the first stations to launch originally. It didn't go on air until this week, 36 years ago.
On 1107 kHz in the medium frequency and in stereo on 96.6 VHF, you're listening to the final test transmissions of the country's newest local radio station. On these wavelengths, a few minutes from now, you'll be able to hear the start of the local radio service for the county of Northamptonshire. BBC Radio Northampton.
Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3. So we're on the air now. What's the first show?
And on this first morning, June the 16th, 1982, Radio Northampton begins its service by inviting you to start the day with John Bynan.
I wonder who first started that pause between announcing a programme title. They do it on Radio 4 as well, in The Archers. Now, anyway, who's on the first news bulletin?
It's 7 o'clock. This is Roger Mosey. Good morning. The headlines this Wednesday, the 16th of June. General Galtieri has towed the Argentine...
The launch of BBC Radio Northampton this week in 1982. Johnny Beerling is a name forever associated with a purple period for Radio 1. Although the station was on AM for much of his time, it still ruled the roost, even beating commercial radio stations in some markets. This week, 25 years ago, the BBC announced Johnny's resignation.
By then, we had got to 24 hours a day and we'd got total separation and we'd got FM coverage, but... You know, the fact that it took 20 years to achieve that, one of the network that was the highest listening network. You see, there was a problem, wasn't there? David Hatch charged me with getting the biggest audiences because the justification for the licence fee was that most people at some time are using one of the BBC services, and if that was Radio 1, that was fine. Well, when John Burke came in, he wanted something different. He wanted it. He was worried about the renewal of the charter, and wanted to make sure that Radio 1 was distinctive and different. Well, I pointed out that it was distinctive and different in the fact that I extended the evening news beat to 30 minutes. We were doing more news, there were more people hearing their news via Radio 1 than any other network. We were doing social action broadcasting. I had, at his request, introduced comedy on Radio 1 with Victor Lewis Smith.
Johnny Beerling, who resigned this week in 93. Team Rock Radio didn't last too long, but its launch 5 years ago this week was probably one of the best and simplest.
Ladies and gentlemen, a reading from Mr. Corey Taylor.
It couldn't be done by Edgar Albert Guest. Somebody said that it couldn't be done, but he with a chuckle replied that maybe it couldn't, but he'd be the one who wouldn't say so till he tried. So he buckled right in with the trace of a grin on his face. If he worried, he hid it. He started to sing as he tackled the thing that couldn't be done, and he did it. somebody scoffed.
But sadly, of course, they didn't do it. Team Rock came off DAB 2 years later, went streaming only, but they tried. How great it is, too, that key moments like radio station launches are increasingly marked by true imaging and well-chosen words rather than gratuitous bangs and whizzes and countdowns. In commercial radio's early years and beyond too, its football commentators and pundits became huge names in their areas. And in Birmingham, one of them was Tom Ross. This week, 2 years ago, saw his last programme on a frequency he'd sat on for 35 years.
This is about Birmingham, the city of Birmingham.
How would I sum up my 35 years? Manic. Gone too quickly. It's been amazing. It's been a laugh a minute. I've met some wonderful, wonderful, wonderful people. I've helped some people along the way as well, which has been fantastic for me. And I'm still the snotty-nosed kid from to the back of 437 New John Street West. Because nothing will ever change that, you know. Nothing.
What's a good ball in as well? There's Edda!
Yes!
Can he strike this one?
Wow.
It's up the line! It's in!
Yes! What a goal! Yes! Fantastic stuff!
Confucius said, find a job you love and you'll never work a day in your life. And I've never worked a day in my life. Because I've found the best job in the world. Journey ain't over yet, by the way.
Tom Ross concluding his last programme, as heard on Free Radio this week in 2016. Free, of course, is one of the rebrands from the original commercial stations. And this week, 9 years ago, a few more shed their original names.
97.2 FM 2CR Invicta FM
A further clutch of heart rebrands this week in 2009 for 2CR, Buzz, Champion, Coast, Essex, Invicta, Marcher, Ocean and Southern. This was the final stage of the then Heart brand rollout. Global's chief executive said since the brand change, the number of advertisers spending more than £250,000 on Heart had grown by 94%. Tony Hall is Director General of the BBC, and it reminds you just how young broadcasting really is when you think he's only the 16th ever to hold that post, and some were quite famously short-lived. This week, 47 years ago, the first Director General died.
Now, if there's anybody in this room who regrets leaving Savoy Hill and who had a melancholy feeling on the last day there, I suppose it should be me. As I was the first one to go into it, and actually it was I who found the place. But I have no regret at all. I have an affection for the place, and it was a scene of great labour and some achievement on the part of those of us who have moved in here. But I don't regret the past, because regretting the past is a great mistake. I look forward, and nothing but look forward, and I ask you all to look forward too with me to greater achievements and to happier days.
John Reith, later Lord Reith, who died this week in 1971. Speaking there as he welcomed staff to the new broadcasting house. Well, the old broadcasting house, if you know what I mean. And judging by the tone of that speech, all those staff have been running around saying, I don't like this place. That's the old place. So, with the death of Bristol's Trevor Fry 4 years ago.
Your friend, my dear friend. Trevor Fry has passed away.
Pirate radio owner Reg Calvert shot dead 52 years ago.
A team of Essex detectives has gone out to Radio City.
And KLFM in King's Lynn beginning test transmissions 26 years ago. Those are this week's Radio Moments.
Radio Moments!
Thank you, David and James and Roy and my guest Dom Chambers this week. You can catch it with previous editions of his podcast.
Can I go now?
Yes, you can go. Okay, radiotoday.co.uk/inradio. Said it bye again. Bye. We'll be back next week. Talk to you then.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creating and distributing clever software for radio.